This is The Adam Ritz Show, a public affairs talk show touching on community, health, foundations, and more. The Adam Ritz Show is underwritten by Vibenomics, an audio out-of-home advertising marketplace and audio experience company. Info at Vibenomics.com. And now, from the Vibenomics studios, please welcome your public affairs radio host, Adam Ritz.
And hello, Adam Ritz here with you. Jay Baker is joining me on the phone. We're here to talk about public affairs, and we do it in style with a smile. Jay, are you smiling right now?
I am smiling, and I'm excited. We're enjoying the heat of a summer, and you know, as they always say, summertime, the living is easy.
You know, in the summer, you've got flip-flops on, slides, you're barefoot maybe, and we have a barefoot shoe update for you from the TSA. This was announced this week. You no longer need to take your shoes off at airport security. So a round of applause for that. I don't know how many times you had to take your shoes off going through security, but it is a burden. And it's not any fun for you as a passenger to witness the toenails of your fellow passengers.
Yeah, we're helping America not be traumatized by toenails. But yes, you're absolutely correct. TSA has announced that they will forego the shoes off portion of the TSA check. But the TSA has cautioned they may ask you to remove your shoes individually later or ask you some further questions if they feel like, you know, something is going on. So I'm with you. It's a new rule, but it's not like, hey, fly through TSA without a care in the world.
For sure. I mean, they still reserve the right to randomly check anyone head to toe. So please, bad guys, don't take this as an excuse to start packing things in your socks and inside your shoes, because you still might get caught when they randomly check you and make you take your shoes off.
Well, the corollary article that goes along with this is TSA has been an effective deterrent. Yes, there have been occasions where, you know, they'll do spot checks and contraband does leak through the line. But overall, it's been an immediate and very helpful adjunct to airport security. So I think it's kind of cool that they feel comfortable enough mm-hmm. to allow people to get through the lines a little quicker. Getting through the lines a little quicker will make more people want to fly, and it'll keep the economy moving right along.
The rule was implemented in 2006 following a shoe bomb attempt. I don't know if you remember that almost 20 years ago. The shoe bomb attempt.
I remember it well, yeah, the shoe bomber.
So they said, okay, starting now, everybody has to take their shoes off when you go through security. Well, thanks to technology and the screening process, that is of no longer a main concern. If you do have a bomb inside your shoe, when you walk through security, they will know it. So whether you take your shoe off or not in 2025, they will know it. So again, I'm glad this happened. It also shows that TSA and law enforcement organizations are willing to make common sense changes when technology and common sense catches up. So,
well, absolutely. And as you just kind of pointed out, you know, there's a well maintained list by TSA, easily available on their website, that indicates all the things that you should not have with you when boarding a flight. My rule of thumb has always been, it's an easy list to follow. I don't need to take an axe onto a flight. I'm going to just follow that list.
You know, Jay, the happiest people with this new rule are the germaphobes, because I know a few, and they go crazy when, let's say, you go to the airport, and before you go through security, you go to the bathroom. You're walking through the bathroom where the right. floor isn't necessarily sanitized every 5 minutes. The floor of a bathroom in an airport is not necessarily anywhere you'd want to walk through in your socks or barefoot, but you've got shoes on. Well, now you go through security and you take your shoes off. And everybody who was in the bathroom pre-security now is walking in those same shoes through security, and now everybody takes their shoes off, and the germaphobes have to step in their clean socks and their clean feet onto the floor where those dirty shoes from the bathroom just were stepping. So this is a dream come true for the germ freaks out there that just are pulling their hair out when they have to walk through what they – when they look down at the floor and they think they can see stains from the bathroom. Boy, good news for them. So round of applause for TSA and everybody involved. I also wanted to mention, Jay, before we get to your awesome stories, that we do a lot of scam alerts on this program. And I saw a scam come across my desk this week. We've covered the Department of Transportation scams where they text you and tell you that you owe money for a toll that you may or may not have known you had. There's jury duty scams where a sheriff will call your cell phone, leave a message that you owe money because you missed jury duty. There's dozens of these scams. I saw one in the UK this week. A gentleman was scammed out of hundreds of pounds because he was absolutely convinced that Jennifer Aniston was in love with him because of the AI deep fake and the messages that the scam criminal, the cyber criminal, was sending him.
Wow.
Yeah. And this was a news story with pictures I found on the Daily Mail. And if you see this, the messages this cyber criminal was sending this gentleman, they look absolutely real, like Jennifer Aniston is sending love notes and personal sentiments to this gentleman. Now, I don't know in what world you'd think Jennifer needs your $200.
Yes, that would be part of it.
If a celebrity that made $800,000 an episode on a sitcom that lasted 15 seasons was messaging me for $200, that might be a red flag. But it's just another point of awareness, Jay, that these cyber criminals will stop at nothing to try to get a dime out of you. And now with the AI and the AI deepfakes, I think vocal messages were even sent by this scam artist in the voice of Jennifer Aniston, sending voicemails to this gentleman. So just be aware, if all of a sudden out of the blue you get a message from one of your favorite celebrities asking for financial support, it may or may not be real.
Yeah, one would presume that many of the Hollywood celebs are doing okay financially. But, you know, once again, one more way to win people over. These are compelling messages.
Now, if Jay Baker messages you and asks for $200, that is absolutely real. That is not a deep fake.
No, that's not a deep fake. That's me trying to get my car out of the impound.
I'm not saying
that's what that is.
You shouldn't send the money. I'm not saying to send the money. I'm just saying that that is a real message.
Well, it's interesting you brought up the, you know, the compelling Jennifer Aniston, because, you know, obviously very attractive. Who amongst us as young single people wouldn't want to be on the arm of Jennifer Aniston? But there was an article not too long ago that Liam Neeson was being plagued by all these people that could imitate his voice. You know, his voice is fairly recognizable, but somewhat easy to duplicate. And all these scammers would call up and say, "Hi, I'm Liam. You probably have seen my movies. By the way, I'm filming in Hawaii, and we're having trouble getting fuel for the helicopter. Can you send me money?"
That sounds
like
legit.
Oh my. Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, it's just one of those things where you think, I guess Liam Neeson might call, but then you also may say to yourself, and hopefully you do, you think, but wait a minute, Liam's never called prior to this.
He's never called before. And how did he get my number now?
Yes, absolutely. Hey, I don't know if you heard about this, Adam, but over the weekend, Ozzy Osbourne made his final concert appearance.
I did see that, and I was reminded of the story you did a few weeks back talking about this performance and the charitable angle it had. I do remember that. Yeah, that was star-studded event.
Yeah, it really was an amazing event. They had they streamed the several million platforms across literally the world. It was called the Back to the Beginning Festival, and it raised almost $200 million for charity. It benefited the Cure Parkinson's, Birmingham Children's Hospital, and Acorns Children's Hospice. So those were the main beneficiaries. We have reported that Ozzy, amongst many other health concerns that he has been dealing with, has also been dealing with Parkinson's. And, you know, he maybe doesn't have maybe some of the, panache and charisma of a Michael J. Fox, but he's a very prominent guy and has been very outspoken that we need to spend a little more money to research Parkinson's.
And I do feel like this is his final performance. How many times have you heard about an artist's final tour? It's their final show. And then a few years later, they come back and they're on another tour. I'm looking at you, Motley Crue, but I think I think this is probably it for Ozzy, and we wish him the best in his health and the rest of his journey.
Yeah, the concert was held in Birmingham, England. Local businesses said that they received about $20 million in local economy boosting on top of the money raised. So good thing all the way around. Glad that it went off the way it did. Now, speaking of Parkinson's, if you yourself are dealing with Parkinson's or you have a relative or friend that has, it's kind of interesting. I have met some Parkinson's patients, Adam, that say that it took over a year to get properly diagnosed whether they had Parkinson's or not.
Oh, wow. What's the holdup?
Well, the holdup is some of the symptoms for Parkinson's can be a bit vague at the very beginning. Researchers out of UCLA have invented, believe it or not, a pen. We're talking about a pen that writes, can detect Parkinson's disease with incredible accuracy. A pilot study in the Journal of Nature Chemical Engineering, one of my favorite magazines, unveiled the device that looks close to a normal pen. The pen is able to pick up on small deviations by observing how people write before it can be noticed visually. And so that gives them a pretty accurate diagnosis that somebody is indeed diagnosed with Parkinson's.
You know, when you said a pen, I was envisioning an EpiPen. I don't know if you know what an EpiPen is, but it's shoots a shot of adrenaline into your system. Asthmatics use them.
EpiPen is PIN.
Well, that's what I heard you say. I didn't read the article.
Sorry.
So people with peanut allergies use an EpiPen. So when you said that UCLA developed a pen that can detect Parkinson's, that's what I was thinking of. You're saying that it's an ink pen that you
it's a writing instrument,
and it checks your writing and can detect stages of Parkinson's by how you write.
Yeah, it's 96% accurate, and the good news is it could be made available at relatively low cost. So it's something just sort of one more weapon in the quill, if you will, to sort of identify and help people with Parkinson's.
What if you're, famously a doctors have terrible handwriting? What if, does it detect if you may have health problems or you could become a doctor?
Well, I think it's like everything, it sounds like that would be a factor, but apparently these researchers have figured out that it's a lot more than just how bad your handwriting is. Thankfully, you can have atrocious handwriting and have great health. I think that's the thing that we can read out of this. Hey, here's something interesting. because we've all thought about this, but we also realize that sometimes, well, it's like the old statement, you know, is if you ask somebody how they are, they'll go, well, I can't complain. You know how that goes. Mm-hmm. I could complain, but people don't want to hear about it.
But who would listen?
Those seemingly small things can push you over the edge. Apparently, we worry a little bit about societal anxiety. And there's a new survey that they just took amongst 2,000 Americans. And they said, what stresses Americans out the most?
Just top of my head, knee-jerk reaction, finances.
Well, that is one thing that people worry about. But here's like a couple of interesting little concrete things. And I found this absolutely fascinating because if you think about it, you'd go, yeah, well, that would bug me too. Mm-hmm. Nearly half of people surveyed admitted that spotting a person they'd much rather avoid totally stresses them out. You know, you're somewhere in a social function, you look across the room, oh, and there's that guy.
Okay, so I was thinking, maybe that the credit card debt you have hanging over your head really stresses you out, but not as much as Todd, who's in the other side of the room at this party. He stresses me out.
Todd stresses me out. Now, here's another one followed closely by, think about this for a second, a knock on the front door when you're not expecting guests.
That is stressful.
That is stressful.
I recently saw a comedian talking about just this issue, how just, 30 years ago when there was a knock on the door, it was like great news. We have a visitor. Everybody would run to the front door, open the front door to see who it is. Someone's going to put some coffee or tea on and bring out some cookies. And now you have a visitor who's going to visit. You turn off the TV and you hang around. And now, 30 years later, you knock on the door. Everybody dives behind the couch.
It's pretty funny. And not inaccurate. But that is up on the top of the list. Now, you'll appreciate this. It's exactly what you hinted at. Sometimes it can be pretty vague, pretty small things. Respondents also shared that some of the weird things that can cause them stress include everything from the texture of my socks, aluminum cans, the beeping sound on the TV to cover swearing. Those little things, but they drive people crazy.
Well, these are some first world problems I'm hearing here, Jay. If the texture of your socks is a worry to you, then you need to get some debt.
You need to start reviewing most of your life, my friend.
You need some real problems. So
it's like a warning sign. It's not just a sign. It's a warning sign. They ask people what to do when they're stressed. And the majority of people, almost 60% of respondents, said that when they're stressed, they listen to music to help calm themselves down.
Mm-hmm. 15% of the respondents said they changed their socks.
Yes, absolutely. So, not earth-shattering science, but it is interesting that sometimes very little things can absolutely drive you crazy.
Yeah. Okay. I'm here for it. I'm going to listen to some music later to relieve my stress. Yeah.
Absolutely. Here's a gentleman who's been a frequent guest on Good Morning America. He's a meteorologist named Ginger Z. Sharing some tips on how to stay safe during storms. And this is kind of important because we are entering sort of the stormy time of the year. Not as likely for tornadoes, but they can occur. But lightning is extremely dangerous.
Now, I'm focusing on the wrong thing here, Jay, but you said his name is Ginger Z?
Well, as I'm reading this, I'm realizing maybe it's a female, because you're right, Ginger doesn't seem to be a particularly masculine name, though there was Ginger Baker, the famous drummer.
Ginger Baker.
In the band Cream.
So, yeah, when you said Ginger Z, I'm like, was this the fill-in drummer for Led Zeppelin?
You know, we're trying to help people avoid lightning, but we should focus on Ginger's name.
Bad host. Okay, yeah. Back to storm safety.
I should have said, in retrospect, and, you know, it's really difficult to get into the time machine because it's so small.
Please continue.
But, yes, I should have just said meteorologist, but no. And on a more serious note, if you do happen to hear thunder, you should get inside a structure. And I know that's kind of a duh, but simply getting under something is not good enough. So if you think, I'm over this overhang, or I'm under this tree, or I'm somewhere out, get into a structure, an actual, you know, design structure when you do hear thunder. And sometimes when you hear thunder, you don't have a lot of time to react. You probably know that.
Yeah, and it is funny to me too how we've heard thunder our entire lives, but every time you hear it, you perk up like it's the first time you've heard it in your life.
Oh, yes. And here's something that's interesting too, and I would have to echo this, and I wouldn't have thought about this, but you can get a number of apps that show you live weather radars. I actually subscribe to one that's a little pricey just because I'm sort of a weather nerd, but you can get a number of apps that show you live Doppler radar and kind of help identify exactly where lightning strikes are occurring.
I have an app called Ginger Baker's Thunder Drum Solo.
It's drum. When you hear his drumming, you know that it could be dangerous.
It is such a good drum solo. You don't know if it's Ginger Z or if it's thunder.
Now here's the kind of a here's
I'm
so, kind
I'm
of
sorry.
A, no, it's okay.
I'm sorry.
No, I'm the same way. I mean, I want people to stay safe, but, you know, I too focus on many of the wrong things. That's why I'm in radio.
Yeah.
And not doing something to help people.
That's why Ginger Z is not doing a story about meteorologist Jay Baker right now.
No, he is not. But here's kind of a spooky, weird, fun fact. You can actually have lightning strikes 25 miles away from the actual thunderstorm. So that's why they're telling you that the real tip is when you hear thunder, just assume that you could be very close to lightning strikes.
Got it.
And National Lightning Safety Council reminds, when thunder roars, go indoors. So yes, definitely find some kind of structure. You know, we've always talked about that there are certain times of the year where we focus on different things. Early in the spring, we think in terms of tornadoes and, you know, the amazing damage that can occur from a tornado. Oftentimes, a tornado locally can be more dangerous than a hurricane. While it's briefer in nature, it still can be extremely powerful.
I think a good point to bring up, too, this time of year with swimming pools is if you're at a public pool or a neighborhood pool, an apartment complex pool, and a lifeguard is on duty, they will vacate the pool when there's thunder. If you have your own pool and, you know, there's no rules when you're the lifeguard, you can do whatever you want. Just remember, if you hear thunder, like Jay said, there is lightning within 25 miles away, and it might be right on top of you. So best to get out of your pool, even if there's not someone there to tell you to, and your children, when you hear thunder.
Yes, absolutely. Hey, as we get into the heat of the summer, they always tell you to stay hydrated. Water seems like sort of a natural choice, readily available, tastes pretty good when it's iced down. But believe it or not, water is not necessarily the most hydrating of liquids. It turns out that the most hydrating liquid, this is going to be an unlikely choice for you to make during hot weather, but it's true, skim milk is actually the most hydrating of the liquids. Now, you're probably not going to bring skim milk along in your water bottle.
I was just trying to guess. What is he going to say? I didn't know if there was like a brand name of a of a, you know, a water company or a sports drink that would be best. I had no idea that skim milk was going to be brought up. I'm reminded of Ron Burgundy when he drank milk on a hot day and said milk was a bad choice. So if you do have milk in your water bottle, don't leave it in a hot car and then drink warm, hot skim milk at the end of the day.
Famously, there's an incredible motor car race called the Indy 500. And traditionally, when the winner wins the race, they consume milk in victory lane.
And it is cold.
Yes. Cold now, milk. Someone keeps it cold.
They don't hand them a steaming hot bottle of milk.
There's another intersection here. It's called food safety. Mm-hmm. Yes. Thanks to its mix of sugar, protein, and fat that keeps fluids in your system longer. Now, according to a new study, drinks like some of these rehydration solution drinks, and we're not picking on any of them, but, you know, a lot of times if you go down that supermarket aisle that's called the sports hydration aisle, there's a pretty dizzying array of sports drinks that are meant to replenish you and refresh you and rehydrate you. Not all of those are as helpful as you might think.
Lots so they're not,
yeah, they're not picking on anyone, but it is the mix of sugar.
And, you know, electrolytes is a popular term in these drinks. They replenish your electrolytes. Just make sure you're not just drinking straight sugar.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's with anything, it's moderation. You know, Pedialyte is sort of a famous brand that people buy to help children and patients stay hydrated. Pedialyte's great. Too much Pedialyte, not so great. So it's like everything in the world. Believe it or not, orange juice is oftentimes a better choice. I used to do a lot of sports training with a gentleman that would bring along diluted orange juice, keep it on ice, and that was sort of his go-to drink.
Yeah, it's always refreshing, a nice ice-cold glass of orange juice. We keep some in the fridge, and occasionally I'll just pull it out and take a swig, and it's good for health reasons, good for flavor, good for everything.
Believe it or not, sugary sodas are not a good choice. They can actually pull water out of your body during digestion.
Yeah, but what about cherry cola?
Well, you would think cherry cola, it sounds so good, doesn't
there's a,
it?
There's a fruit in there, and that's one of the main food groups. That doesn't count as fruits and vegetables, huh?
I couldn't help but notice on the can it said very clearly, contains no fruit juice. Remember those?
Yeah.
Got some bad news for you.
There's a picture of a cherry on the can, but the words say, contains no cherries.
It always used to say, hey, you kids like chemistry, don't you? That's why it tastes like cherry. Now, here's what's interesting, and this is what was cool about this article about hydration is, believe it or not, now you've been told always, don't use alcoholic beverages to stay hydrated, and that is still a good rule of thumb. But believe it or not, some coffee and some beer will hydrate you. The problem is the strength of the beverage varies wildly between things. So I will tell you from my personal coffee addiction, I'm very well hydrated, but I'm not doing a lot of sports-oriented things first thing in the morning. So you have to be very aware of it. Beer can be misleading because you could drink three or four or five beers, which we don't recommend, but you could at a social setting and think, boy, I've really hydrated myself. No, you've really gotten yourself in a state where a designated driver is now recommended.
Yeah, not a good thing. All right, Jay. Well, I'm gonna head home and go on a speed walk through my neighborhood, and I'm gonna bring a half gallon of skim milk with me to keep me hydrated. All right, for our listeners, thanks for joining us. If you have any ideas, you can email me your story ideas. It is Adam at Adam. Wait, wait, what? Yeah, I got lost in my Twitter account there. My Twitter is at Adam Ritz Show. My email is adam@adamritz.com. There we go.
The Adam Ritz Show is recorded live in studio at the Vibonomics Worldwide Headquarters. Learn more about the Vibonomics Audio Out-of-Home Marketplace at Vibonomics.com. For information on this broadcast, including past on-demand episodes, interview submissions, and syndication contacts, visit AdamRitzShow.com.